Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your host this morning, and with me today, our leading lady, is Donna Balanciat, who is the principal for, I love the name, Donna, News Notables, and I know it has to do with marketing and PR, so are you there, and good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I'm speaking to you from beautiful Carlsbad, California, where the waves are big and the sun is shining.
I love it, and it doesn't suck to live here, right?
No, it's great.
Everyone should know that.
Yes, yes, come from the East Coast where there's all sorts of weather turmoil. We just have a wonderful life here. And, yes, the company is called News Notables. It's a division of Balance Marketing. I'm responsible for basically making people and products famous.
Well, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because it's like, I know when we first met, and, you know, for today, the show, I kind of came up with the title, From Space to Public Relations. I mean, every time I talk to you, I'm just like, I'm amazed at your background and how you see things. And so today, you know, one of the things I wanted you to share with our listeners, because it's about transitions. I mean, you were working with NASA, and I want to kind of have you share your journey from how you went from NASA to being in business for yourself and specializing in helping people be newsworthy and noteworthy and all the PR and marketing things you do under your umbrella. So how did you go?
Yes,
I mean, tell us about your journey from NASA.
I do have to clarify something. I never went into a space shuttle. And I was never
Darn.
In a capsule.
Darn. Okay, so it's like, okay, so not as exciting. Let me say that one, because we were just having everybody peaked, right, that you came from NASA.
You know, you've got to be rather skinny and little to fit in one of those capsules, and that's just not my bag.
Yeah, please don't go there with me, but that's okay. It's like, yeah, the little compact little thing. But you were with NASA, though. We got that part right, correct?
Yes, I worked with NASA as a partner in promoting the ecotourism in the Central Florida area. So basically, you know, we want to be, you know, during the shuttle program, you know, the four orbiters are now in museums, but when they were flying, it was a very attractive thing to go see a shuttle launch over the beach.
Right.
And so tourism was, you know, always a booming aspect of a shuttle launch.
Well, and tell me this, it's like when you were with NASA, I mean, did you knew what was coming. I'm hoping that all the news that was out there about how NASA was shutting down certain elements, wasn't going to be, you know, in Florida anymore and consolidating departments and units, because it's still there. But, I mean, did you have some sort of notice knowing it was coming down the pike of what was happening, or was it kind of a shock?
Well, it shouldn't have been a shock to anyone. Frankly, you know, Kennedy Space Center is still a very vibrant hub of the tourism sector in Central Florida. A lot of people love to go and, you know, look at the legacy of NASA, and it's a terrific opportunity if you are in Central Florida. So it's always a nice thing. As far as the shuttle program, people had some warning. You know, it was a year or two out. I think whether you want to believe that the end of the line is coming or not, that is a personal choice. And mm-hmm. as with everything else, you know, we can get the news and then we can analyze it and we can believe it or not. I think I saw frankly, you know, going from journalism into public relations and promotions and producing, you know, I think the handwriting was on the wall when they started taking away the stock pages and the comics. And, you know, you can either deal with it and say, well, I need to make a change, or you can hold out hope to the point where it might not be to your best interest.
And so tell me your
journey. A lot of the
workers,
you know, who worked with the shuttle program, you know, a lot of people saw the handwriting on the wall and just said, well, this happened. You know, they threatened to end the Apollo program, and, you know, we still got a few more years out of that. So I think, you know, it's a denial factor kicks in.
And what about for you? It's like, so when you were hearing this, it's like, what kind of timeline or lead time did you get, and what are some of the things, you know, what did you go through? Because, I mean, I've been through 5 mergers and acquisitions over my bank career, and it's like I never got used to it. But by the 4th one, I was like, oh, you know, crapola, I've been through this before. It's like, okay, here's step 1, step 2, step 3. What did you go through in terms of thinking, I got to look for another job, or it's like I need to make some plans? You know, how long of a time frame or what, you know, did you deal with to kind of go through that if you knew that the end was coming, so to speak, for you and your role with NASA?
Well, it's, frankly, it was more about the end of journalism that really set me back, having been a reporter and an editor since the age of, you know, 19 while I was in college. You know, that was kind of a big shock when in around 2005, you know, the downturn really hit. And I have to be just as honest as everybody else, you know, I saw things were coming down the pike and we need to make changes, you know, and prepare ourselves, of course. So, you know, in working with as a partner of NASA with my tourism responsibilities, you know, again, you see the end of the line on the horizon, and you have to make alternative plans. In my case, as I was promoting the shuttle program and, you know, the visitation related to the NASA program, I wasn't working directly for NASA. I was working as a tourism partner with NASA and helping with their promotions as a contractor type of person. You know, you're always looking to promote the next thing. So, you know, in my case, we still wanted people to come to the region to visit and to have some tourism and have a vacation. So what can you pitch instead? And so you're taking the skills that you already have and you're basically tweaking it and putting it onto something that you can promote. I was always a great writer and, you know, always enjoyed a good interview. So taking those talents and sort of moving it to something else, that's the key to keep, you know, to keep it real and keep going into the future.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I know for many of our listeners, it's like, you know, there are some people that, you know, are in transition. You know, they're corporate women that are looking for the next big thing, so to speak. Some of the, you know, the listeners that are listening in are thinking of starting businesses. So, you know, what kind of, I mean, for you, it's like when you started out in news and you were a reporter, I mean, did you think when you first started out, like this was what you were going to do forever? Or did you kind of like reality bites when you started to see the downturn and said, I need to be making some changes? I mean, how did you go? Because I didn't realize that you, it was 2005 is when this was starting to, you started seeing the writing on the wall, so to speak.
You know, it was probably long before that, actually, because print, you know, the print costs were rising. The cost of ink, the cost of paper, you may even see that your local paper, wherever listeners are, you know, the paper physically is shrinking, you know, a quarter inch on one side, a quarter inch on the other side. That saves a few hundred thousand a year, so that not only was the paper shrinking in dimensions, but in pages and in ad, you know, ad space, and, you know, it was a tough row to hoe. When I went into journalism, it was the 80s, and I never thought newspapers would ever go away. We couldn't anticipate the impact of the Internet in those days. There was no Internet. There may have been some chat rooms and, you know, some dial-in type of stuff by, you know, mid to end of the 80s. But I figured that, you know, my arch rival, the television people, would be taking over. So I never really gave it a thought, of course, as most people didn't, you know, that Internet would really take over. So the positive is that there's still a vast need for content. If you can write, if you can shoot video, if you can edit, if you can take some, you know, classes in web design, that is definitely the wave of the future. And also I will add, it's not just websites for the computer. If you can start thinking about how to transition your talents into mobile applications, that is the key. And I'm seeing a lot of people in their 40s and up attending these groups and classes and meetings that have to do with switching over their talents to be more internet, more mobile app. That means learning InDesign. You know, so be it. And we just can't be in denial anymore. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to learn.
Yeah, and tell me about, you know, kind of your educational journey here, because it's like, you know, I mean, I'm just going to say it's like we're not, you and I, I'm saying this together, we're not 20-something, let me put it that way.
Right.
So did you go take classes? I mean, because you're pretty up on social media and, you know, the whole kind of like content-rich, you know, kind of process online, both online and offline, you know, and how to get in the news. So what was, you know, how did you take classes or did you do a lot of online classes?
It's kind of a combination of both. I think the more valuable thing is, you know, nowadays people don't have the time to race around in the car. There are a lot of great websites and a lot of great, you know, YouTube is a treasure trove of instructional opportunities. You go to YouTube, if you have a spare 10 minutes, you sit down, you can watch a couple of videos, you write a few notes down. I still do use a pencil and a notepad. And whether or not that's as organized as some people like it, it works for me. An eraser is always a good thing. And I write down some of the things that I've seen in the video, and I might make a note, and I'll go back to that video to see it again. Or, you know, about.com is a pretty good site, howto.com. There's a lot of how-to websites that help. There's also, believe it or not, your local adult schools offer some pretty fantastic classes and for a very reasonable price. I know, in fact, Vista's got a great adult school and, you know, a couple of others in North County. I can't speak as much for, you know, San Diego County proper, but overall, North County's got some nice opportunities. It's, you know, you got to mix it up. We don't have a lot of dough. We're, you know, at an age where they'd rather employ two cheaper people than someone experienced, so you got to have an edge, whether it means working a later shift, coming in earlier, staying later. You know, you just got to do what we were supposed to do when we were kids, which was, you know, do what you have to do to make it happen.
Well, and let me ask you this. How did you decide that you were not going to, quote-unquote, work for somebody else and you were going to be independent and on your own as a solopreneur? It's like that's definitely a choice, or was it one that was made for you and you kind of evolved into it? Because, you know, some people are saying, I just want to work for somebody else, not for myself. What made you decide to work for yourself and start your own business?
Well, it's pretty scary, as you know. It's not the easiest decision to make. However, you know, working in journalism for so many years, and, you know, every time there was a layoff or every time there was a threat of a layoff, you know, it's an unstable feeling. And I didn't want that anymore. I was at the point where I wanted to do more in-depth stories. They had trained us in many aspects of the media. So they were prepared to lay a bunch of people off and keep the strong ones who could handle the multitasking of shooting video, editing video, writing for the web, and writing stories. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure I really wanted to do as much as they were asking. And I said, look, it's either time to, you know, make it happen and move on and bite the bullet. So I started a few different websites to see if any of them would stick. There seemed like there would be some possible revenue opportunities in some of the niches that I went into, which were the legal and the, you know, entertainment and a couple of nice ones. And, you know, basically a couple of friends said, hey, I need a publicist to get me on TV and get me in the newspaper, get me on the radio. So by, I think it's like a Chinese menu. You take some dim sum here, you take some fried rice there, you put it all together on your plate. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. You get rid of the one you like. You keep the one you get rid of the one you don't like, you keep the one you like, and you move on from there. And if you have to take a part-time, a paid thing from somebody and combine it to, when you're getting started, starting on your own, you take some part-time work, working for someone else and actually keeping some kind of a paycheck coming in, and then venturing out on your own, that's probably the way I would do it if I were doing it over right now. I would probably take a little part-time work, just doing anything and supporting my love, which would be my, you know, new company.
Well, and I like how you, I mean, the analogy I would use is a little different. You know, you had a really nice professional way you viewed how you started. I think throw enough crap on a wall, right? Something's going to stick. But, you know, in looking at what stuck, let's put it that way, or what did the Tim Sung analogy, how did, you know, what started to evolve that you went, oh, I think I've got something here? I mean, because really, I mean, in talking to you, I really find, you know, I think you've got a hell of a niche, you know, if I can say that online, and I do because that's what I do. But what, you know, where did you start to see and get some excitement, enthusiasm, you know, when people started thinking that they wanted to get visibility and get them on the news? Is that where you started to really see some traction, or kind of walk us through that? Because I think that's where, you know, follow the money and find the need and fill it. Where was the need? Where was the biggest thing that you started seeing some real, you know, juice for what you were looking to do?
Well, having worked with a lot of celebrities and a lot of pro athletes over the years, I know that the name of the game is ego, E-G-O. And if you can cater to someone's ego and make money out of it, I think you got the winning formula. In my particular case and in my field of endeavor, I was writing a story about something and happened to reach out to an attorney for a quote in the story. And he said, hey, you write about my competitor. You never write about me. I said,
oh,
well, I got
funny.
You on the phone right now. What do you want to say? You know, I'm writing about you now. Why are you bitching at me now? You know, and he said, you always write about her and, you know, this. I said, well, you've never been in the topics that I needed before. He goes, you really ought to get me in the paper once in a while. So after that lovely interview with him, I hung up and I thought, geez, you know, I betcha if he's thinking that, there's probably a heck of a lot more people out there who think they have something to say. If they don't, it absolutely has something very, you know, worthwhile, but they think they have something to say. Let's pursue this and see what happens. So that was the impetus for me starting the Florida Law Journal, which is an online publication I have that services the, you know, the legal community. But beyond that, it made me think, boy, if I could use some of these guys, you know, to put them on TV, and it serves a couple of purposes, especially if it's a good cause. You know, I'm all about, I won't take on a client unless I believe in what they're doing. So being that I've worked with everybody in the industry pretty much in TV and in newspapers and all that, my reporter and editor friends are still, many of them are still at their, you know, power positions back, you know, in the media, it's a no-brainer. So that was sort of my thing. I listened to hear what other people wanted and if there was a, you know, a need that wasn't being met. And in this case, you have these attorneys who are, my father's an attorney, so I grew up knowing the personality to some degree. You know, you have a couple of showboats once in a while who want to go on TV, and why not use that, you know? So that's my personal story.
And I like that because it's like, to me, I think there's so many misnomers about publicity and public relations or PR. You know, I mean, talk to me, because one of the things I've seen, and I just love your viewpoint on this, because so many people now that, quote-unquote, are PR experts will do everything about social media. And I'm not a person who lives in, like, you know, everything either or. I know there's a balance. Hey, hence, that's the business name you have. So I'm kind of curious about what you see as the biggest misconceptions people have. If there's owners listening on a radio show, you know, what would you tell them about some of the biggest misconceptions about getting publicity? I mean, what do people need to know in order for them to be newsworthy or get on the news or be quoted or, you know, get some of that publicity? What do they need to know that they're not getting? Because I've seen a lot of business owners that they just don't get it. They think that they're going to be able to, you know, just get an advertorial, and that's not what publicity is all about.
Well, in some cases today, it is about advertorial, actually. You kind of hit on something that's sort of interesting. Basically, You're still there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening. I'm intently listening, Donna. I'm like, I'm ready. It's like E.F. Hutton is talking to me.
No, I'm sorry. I have an incoming call here. One aspect of technology I will never manage is the phone. Basically, you know, if you can find a news hook, it's a rather time-consuming process, and this is why people say, let's hire the publicist. I need a publicist to get me in that. Let's hire the publicist. Well, you have to judge that, what you're saying, very carefully. It sounds fun to say that. It sounds fun, and it makes you sound cool to say, let's get a publicist. Let's get some PR. But you have to think about what you really want. And when I take a client on, I tell them, make a list of 5 things you want. What do you want? What are your goals? Do you want to promote your product so that people, you know, you want to promote your product so that people can see it? You want people to buy it? Do you want people to come in to use your services? You know, what are your goals, number one? Number two, if there's some way that you feel you are a good fit for TV news, you look good, you present well, you're professional, which many, you know, people are, you know, you might consider making personal appearances on TV. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have a product, you have something that's interesting, you find the news angle. Is there a news angle? Is there something current going on? Can I hook in like that? For instance, I'm trying to think of something. Okay, so you have a great San Diego Zoo, and there's a new, maybe a new panda born. You know, and then you have a product that is you have a synthetic fur purse that you want to get out on the market. Well, you say, look, you know, for the sake of the panda, you know, we're all coming out with products that are, you know, not using real fur, you know, or something like that. So, you know, my idea is to, you know, always think of what's going on in the news and how you can be a comment on that news vis-a-vis your product. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I think this is, again, one of those areas, I guess, from my back, you know, experience. It's like I've always found that it's like, okay, if I do direct marketing, I can definitely, you know, dollars, numbers, and cents, I can go through and go, okay, how many, you know, direct mail pieces did we send out? Was there a bump in calls or inquiries or any of that? And there was at least some sort of measurement of ROI. I mean, that's what I feel is a big misconception with people about publicity or PR, is that you kind of like go down this dark hole. You put money and resources to something, and the only way you can equate the value is did you get on the news or did you get quoted? And so I'm kind of curious what your thought is on that, because that's how I look at it as a business owner, is that, you know, should I spend my dollars and cents on publicity, you know, and efforts to that if it's kind of a nebulous ROI, isn't it? I mean, I'm kind of curious about your perspective.
Well, that's it's an ongoing issue for the traditional publicist and the traditional PR company, because now of the social media opportunities and everybody's saying, you know, oh, I can just sit down at the computer and whip out a bunch of news bites that I can put on Facebook or – well, first off, that's not the best use of your time to do that. So it would be good to have somebody who can do that kind of stuff for you, because it is very time-consuming. I don't know if you guys are very familiar with how long it might take to find a photograph, make sure it's not a copyrighted photograph, crop it, put a caption on it, make sure it's spelled right, because the last thing you want is to post something that's spelled incorrectly or somebody else's photograph, okay, whether or not Facebook, you know, who knows what the rules are, because you can put your photographs up and somebody can take, I mean, it's a no man's land out there of copyright infringement. So you need to make your posts very succinct, you know, make your news blurb succinct, whether it's on Tumblr, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is. You don't want misspellings. That's definitely one thing you don't want. So it, in my opinion, is it's worth bringing somebody on who has some kind of background in, you know, to some degree, news or a publicity. But the traditional PR firm now, you will see, if they're with it, they're getting into social media because they can't just exist on can we get Sally on and CNN today, or can we get Johnny quoted in the story that I know the New York Times is going to run, because those are coming fewer and fewer and further in between. Reporters, there's fewer and fewer reporters in the newsroom. They're getting laid off like crazy. They don't have the time. Like in the old days, we used to, answer the telephone, and it would be a publicist on the line saying, hey, can you get my client in on the story you're working on about this? And publicists, if they're on top of their game, they kind of know what you've got going on, a reporter learns to depend on the publicist as a source of information. So that's a good publicist, is somebody who is there for the reporter when they need them. So they say, oh, I got a great client that I can fit in with your thing. You want someone who's looking out, not only for you, but for their other clients, so that they can always make it work. But my point is, today with the social media and all the other opportunities, your publicity firm or PR agent, press agent is what they used to call it, should be very well versed in social media and traditional media. And I think you will see that many of the top PR firms are going in that direction. Whether or not if they're bringing on a junior person to do the social media part of your account, they're adding to their offerings to their clients. And that's what you should be on the lookout for, somebody who's also going to do your social media as well as traditional media.
Well, I like that. I mean, what's most? I'm just curious because we're almost on the downhill slide here. Believe it or not, we only have a few more minutes left. What are maybe two of the biggest challenges you face as a professional in dealing with businesses? I mean, when you either it's through what your process is like, or I mean, what kind of challenges are your big ones in being a publicist and a PR expert and dealing with the marketing that you do with businesses?
Well, with my company, balancemarketingandpr.com, some of the issues have to do mainly with keeping current with technology. That, to me, is, I think, the toughest challenge any of us in our own businesses face. Because if it's not one thing, it's another. I got to update the iPhone. I have to update the Mac. The other things are always got to look for a way to keep current with the technology, so that when you go to make a phone call to somebody or you go to make an email, it's going to get through. So the bottom line is, I find as a professional communicator that communication technology is challenging, and it never was when it was solely pencil, eraser, and a telephone was always my, venue. So to pick up the telephone and call someone and have them actually answer was always like the best, scenario, and that they usually answered the phone. Today, it's like you could send an email to somebody, even though it may be marked urgent, it could end up in their spam file. They might not find it. If you haven't communicated with somebody before and you're sending them an email, it may not be there for them. And here you are on the other side waiting for a response. Meanwhile, the person never got it, or they're so inundated with emails from other people that they're not getting to your important communication. So again, communication is my biggest challenge right now. I think a lot of people feel that way.
I'm just going to say here, because it's like, and we're not going into me today, but it's like I'm going, oh yeah, sister, I totally understand. And it is. I think all of us as businesses keeping up on things and all that. I mean, those are some wise words. I got a question for you because I want to make sure on the radio show, if people have questions or want to reach you, I know you mentioned your website and we'll have a link on our show to your site, but how do people reach you? Do you want them to email you? Do you mind sharing your email or your phone number with our listeners?
Let me give you the, I have a very easy email address. Donna@balancemarketingandpr.com. It's balancemarketingandpr.com. And I'll chat with people. That's not no problem at all. And I'm here to help. The main thing is, we're all going through immense changes together, and particularly in the communications field. And I talk to groups about this and how we can continually improve our communications. And I'm finding that interpersonal communications are really tailing off. I find that if you call someone on the telephone, the reaction is like, oh, you're calling me on the phone? That's such a very personal thing. When that was never the case. You know, oh,
isn't
I prefer
funny?
To have a text, or I prefer to have an email. You know, and that's definitely still, that's my hardest adjustment, is not to be able to speak on the phone to someone and hear the tone of their voice and hear what they're trying to communicate to me.
I hear you on that one. I do find that more and more people, though, they will pick up their phone now. You know, I mean, maybe not so much in corporate America, but I always find it, oh, my gosh, you answered the phone. You're, like, surprised or delighted that you either answered or you know, someone picked up the phone, which is sick, right? And I think that's the world we live in. But, you know, I mean, any final thoughts, just giving one or two takeaways for our listeners to say, you know what, here's a couple of tips if you're looking to get some publicity or press. What would be, you know, two things that you'd love to leave us with? And then that's the end of our show, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for one thing, I want to thank you for doing the women. I tell you, I've met so many fantastic people through your connections, Michelle. You're just terrific, and I highly endorse you and your group. I love it. I love meeting up with you. You're a lot of fun. You're a ball of energy, and it's hard to keep up. So I just wanted to get that. I just wanted to give you a little pat on the back, because I know how much work goes into your group. Very, very challenging. Yeah, no, very, very nice group, too. I've met a lot of terrific women. And, you know, and they're not, you know, a lot of them aren't clients. They're, you know, they're friendly. And I went last week to your group, and I had a question, and I had five women at the table just volunteer right away, and it was
That's
really nice.
Funny.
And I found out I got $1,000 worth of free advice just by going there and having that interaction. But two takeaway things for media strategy.
Yep.
Make sure that whatever you're trying to communicate about your product has a newsy angle. You'll have a better shot of getting in an article or getting on TV. So always think of what's in the news, what's current, you know, that kind of thing, and try and attach yourself to it as an expert in some realm. Number two, spell check. If you're sending an email to somebody, if you're sending a little blurb on your Facebook, there's nothing more embarrassing than posting a Facebook or a Twitter post that has a misspelling and you have to take it down, especially if you got a couple of likes on it already. You hate to lose those likes, you know. So
yeah.
So those are basically my two takeaways. Take the extra time in this challenging communication environment to review whatever you're sending out, because and that also goes to the, you know, that also includes addresses. Make sure before you hit that instant message or that text message, you're actually sending it to the right person. And that'll keep you out of trouble and keep you on the up and up.
At least that'll keep us out of trouble for this half hour, right? So I want to say, this was a delight. I could talk to you for hours, and I want all of our listeners to know that this is a lady, right back at you. I mean, first of all, you were very kind about Connected Women of Influence and me, but that's not the focus, and I just want to say you have such a wealth of expertise. So to all of our listeners out there, it's like, if you're listening today, know that Donna is just a wise soul on a lot of things about publicity and public relations. So I hope you'll take maybe some steps to visit her website or give her a shout and give her a contact. And to all of our listeners, we'll be back again next Monday. Donna, thank you for being on our show this morning, and I look forward to seeing everyone next week. So have a great week.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.